Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Now he loves us, and he's given us great assignments in the Word of God. As you do the things written in God's Word, you put in motion things that cannot be reversed. And they can be done to the positive or the negative. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has made a way for us to be redeemed. But Jesus said, what a man sows, that's what he will also reap. And this means that we can create a legacy of blessings at our will towards those that we love, our future heritage, our children, not only our children, but our descendants. Now, the laws of sowing and reaping are good. They work to our favor. You can control your destiny. You can bless your descendants. You can speak life over your people. Now, Psalm 112 says the children of those that love God will be mighty in the earth. I'm not quoting it, but that's what it's saying. Now, that shows you how wonderful the laws of sowing and reaping can be. This does mean that you have an element of control. When you can choose God's word. It's all throughout the Word of God. This is not just like you find a few scriptures here and there. It's all throughout the Word of God. Sowing, reaping. Now, remember, the things of God is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not just a get-out-of-jail-free card. The Word of God is not just for emergencies. People act like it is. People treat the Word of God like this is something you do to get out of trouble. And if that's all God's going to be to you, then you're not going to get to know Him. But the real legacy is loving God and operating in His ways. Me and my wife was holding a real good conversation yesterday. And one of the things that was spoken, I said, when you seek the Lord and you're doing what's in His heart, when you're learning His word, you see things as it really is. You look into the Lord and you're learning and learning, and the Lord will alert you to what's important. And as He trained you, you know, very, very few people are trained by God. Now, Romans 8:15 says, he that is led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. No doubt about it. People that are led by the Holy Spirit are the sons of God. Now, and in heaven, you're known as you are. And you'll know as you're known. Whatever you do, you'll be known for what you are, what you do, how you choose, what you seek to do in life. Sowing and reaping can be obvious. And when you know what to look for, you can tell that some people come from a good home. Some people come from a strong foundational home. And their children excelled because the parents chose God's way. And they love God. They do sincere things. And the children learn sincerity. And it takes them far in life. Spiritual blessings and spiritual wealth gets on their life because their parents love God. It's up to them at that point to pick up the legacy and not drop it. And people who get over and they do foul things, they do it before their children too. And their children learn to be deceitful or wicked or fearful. See, some of the evil things is not always to get over on somebody. Sometimes people believe a lie against themselves and they're miserable. They're depressed. They learn these things and their children pick it up. And the same spirit that's behind it master the children. The parents sold it. That's why if you don't fight and win, ugly things are going to happen to your descendants. But if you do the things of life, If you do the things of life, you do it before your children and you leave them a healthy legacy. That I'm saying is within your control, within your power to do. If you can do the word of God in love, if you can receive his word in your heart, you're receptive to everything God say. In one of the recent broadcasts earlier this week, I asked the question, what if people received everything they've heard of the Lord and let none of it fall to the ground? They let none of it go wasted. But they received everything they ever heard from the written word that they study, the messages that the preachers minister to them, that comes from God, and then the wisdom of the Holy Spirit as he guides them throughout their life. What if they received it all in their heart and stored it in the bank of their heart and acted on it, and it becomes faith? Some people are so receptive, they swiftly make decisions based on the word of God. And so over time, it is known that they have biblical results. They have biblical results. And they love God and they are devoted to God to the point that they don't always know they're in a storm. Now, Sister Spragan said that one time. She said, when you draw near to the Lord, sometimes you can be going through trouble and don't even realize it. I said, you're right. You are right. Sometimes you're in a miserable storm, but you're not miserable because you're focused on the Lord. You're seeking him. You're having a good time enjoying the Lord. But people see this. It's amazing. It's peculiar. And they see it. You're doing it in their presence and in their sight. And they're learning from you. And you're also leaving a legacy that can't be denied. Cannot be denied. Obvious legacy. And you see your children doing things that's just, you know, some people probably gave up on their children. Then their children do things that's just totally unexpected for that age. The wisdom, the thoughts. They didn't know, where did this child learn this? They watch their parents. All children look at their parents. When things go wrong, they look at their parents. When things are going good, they look to their parents. When they want something, they look to their parents. They see you. Even some people are divorced and they get their children every now and then. But when their children are with them, they operate in the love of God that they always operate in. And they pray over their children. In some cases, divorced parents are more apt to pray over their children than married parents. Because the married parents, they got the children in the house and they talk and they see them all the time. But whether they're with you or not, you need to be praying over them. Sometimes the squeaky wheel gets the oil. And the child that's acting a fool, they get prayed for. And everybody that's acting right, they, you know, parents say, well, they're all right. They don't know. You got to pray for all of them. The enemy is trying to get to derail them and distract them some kind of way, because that's how Satan operates. I'm sorry. That's just the way he is. The world's doing the same thing. The world is groomed by Satan. Their version of Satan's just an abstract monster. But Satan is not abstract evil. He is literal. He is a real enemy. And he's worse than a human. He was an angel. He has knowledge. He's seen God before. He understands things. He knows how to corrupt things. So it's important to take notice of the word of God. That's the only way to defeat him. We were made a little lower than the angels. We were birthed and we had to grow and live and grow and learn. Now, I don't know how the angels were formed. They were the sons of God. I don't know how he did it, how they come to be. Maybe I always thought that he just, poof, he made them. Like he did Adam, rolled him out of dirt or something. I don't know how he did it. I don't know if they have women that and their birth. I don't know how that happens. It's not important to me. But the thing is, they're smarter than we are. They got a huge head start against us. The demons do. The angels are for us. That's why we're alive. They protect our lives. Angels and demons are real. But the laws of sowing and reaping is what it takes to satisfy the courts of heaven. Heaven is a well-organized kingdom. There's no sin there. Sin is against the law of heaven. No sin can be there. But the Lord made a way for us to be righteous so that we can be there. We have to detach and drive sin out of our lives. We have the ability to live a new life, and that's what's expected. And we do that through Christ who strengthens us. Now, some people don't appreciate what Jesus did for us because they don't understand the cost of it. Without Jesus Christ in the law, men used to have to sacrifice animals that they loved, that they cared about, that their children wanted to keep as pets. But if the daddy sinned and all he had was that one little lamb, he had to sacrifice that lamb. So they tried not to sin, but they do it anyway because that was in their nature. They couldn't keep the law. And if they were poor, they had to go and buy two turtle doves. Now, to a poor man, I don't know what their finances were like. But I can just imagine you live in an apartment, you don't even own your home, and you have to do the hard work to make it in life. You got children, and now you got to stop what you're doing and buy some turtle doves because you sin. Now, what if you had to do that every time you sin? Now you're getting to see how it was. The law was terrible. I thank God that I didn't live under the law. I thank God that I became a Christian after the Bible was published, because that gave me a greater chance to have a great legacy. And many of the people you read about, they didn't always have the word of God. The prophets did, the kings did, but the common person, they had to go and listen to the priest. And they had strict laws about how, you know, to get on. That was a point in time where only the rich people had access to God's word. And Satan loved stuff like that. If you were going to be poor, you had to listen real good to what the preacher was saying, what the prophet was saying, what the priest was saying, and your parents that taught you in the word of God. You would have had to take time and just write the word yourself from what you heard. And they had very strict laws when the scribes used to write the word down. If they made a mistake with a pen, they had to start all over again. Everything had to be so perfect. And they handled the word with much care. This is a wonderful and perfect time to live. We can be, now, after Jesus died for us. He shed his blood for us. We have a network. We have a nation where it was built on Christian principles. Many Christians live here in America. And America has made it where the gospel could spread over the world. Because other religions kill Christians. We don't. We are Christians, many of us, not all. But we're living in a time, if you're in America, you're virtually protected by the laws of man, which is good. But we're still in the spiritual warfare. But this is a good time to be on earth doing God's business, because many people have died trying to bring us the written word, and we have it. I've got several Bibles. I wore out three of them. I mean, I keep them because of some of the somewhere I reference things, but the pages are torn up. I've got many Bibles, But now I have it. I listen to it all day long. Common people can do this. Now, if you were the king in Hebrew in Old Testament times, you could pay somebody to read the word all day so you could hear it day and night. And it wouldn't, you know, the good it would have done, the cost that it would have done, a person could have lived a good life reading the word all day to the king or some rich person. And they could have lived well doing that if that's what that king wanted or the rich man wanted. But I can listen to recordings of the word all day long at my will. I can go and study the word all night if I want to. I'm living in a blessed time. I can be guided by the Holy Spirit. And many Christians don't take advantage of this. The words of the Holy Spirit is in my conversation. I'm creating a legacy by loving God and obeying His word and doing the things of God. My life is getting stronger and stronger. I can be useful to God. I can yield myself to Him, and I can live the life that God intended me to live. I can yield myself to Him. He anoints me to do things, and I can do it and believe Him by faith and get results. I'm enjoying making my legacy, but it's not, I don't think about it as a legacy, but it is. I'm satisfied just pleasing God, but simultaneously it's making a legacy. And I've seen it so many times. I've seen people excel in life. And they may not even be Christians themselves, but they're descendants of people who love God. It's a wonderful thing to be able to leave a legacy. You know, I started out, I was just trying to live and please God. And then I learned to live. And I was interested in helping other people. The Lord would do so many wonderful things in my life and help me understand things on a much greater level. And I wanted to share it with everybody, with the world, with the people of the world. And I wanted to share it with my brothers and sisters in Christ. But many times I ran right slap into the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, Pharisee leaven is pride. That's all it is. Misguided pride. Misunderstands everything, missed the point. Competitions. People would try to out-logic each other. Just like in 1 Corinthians 14. They were praying in the Holy Spirit, trying to out-talk in tongues each other and out-prophesy each other and out-sing each other and out-praise each other. It got into a competition. That's what man would do. That's how men would handle holy things unless they are trained by the Holy Spirit. But while they were praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit used them to pray for order. Now Paul, Apostle Paul, was in another place, another country possibly even in jail when they were doing this. And he had people who would deliver his letters. Holy men of God, full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. He's far away. There's nobody to tell him what's going on in Corinth. And he sent them 1 Corinthians. And it included how to handle the love of God. The first chapter 13, the previous chapter before chapter 14, was about love, which is in the verb form, which is charity. And then chapter 14, he set order concerning tongues. And he let them know it's not, he said, don't covet speaking in tongues to outdo each other and show each other up, but covet to prophecy, because that can benefit more people. And one of the nine gifts is the gift of tongues. Now this is different from when you receive the Holy Spirit baptism, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you speak in tongues. This prayer language is prophecy, but it's prophecy through tongues. It's given by tongues. And then the Lord have and somebody to interpret that tongue, which is also a word of prophecy, and it's done by the Holy Spirit. Now that's two of the nine gifts. the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And to help them out, this is how the Lord was going to deliver some prophecies. So, and he still does. I witness to the church from time to time. Now, these gifts, they operate to build us up as a body. You got to think body. You got to stop thinking individual. You are an individual that can make a legacy, and you can choose to do God's will, and you will leave a positive legacy. Or you can choose to ignore God, and you'll leave a negative legacy, because the enemy will deceive you. He'll use the unrenewed portion of your mind to make decisions, and you'll end up in a ditch and miserable. And then he'll tell you it's God's fault because you were doing everything you knew. But you can't treat life that way. You have to receive God's word and pay attention to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because Satan's out there setting traps, and you're not wary of it, and you fall into them from time to time. Not God's fault, not God's will, but it happens. So to help us avoid these things, the Lord put things in place. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth so that we can see it. When you worship God and when you're in his presence, you start sensing things that are real. Now, Jesus didn't say the Holy Spirit will only show you good, positive things. He said he will guide you into all truth. People you thought were for you can be against you in their heart, and the Lord will expose it. He can give you a dream about it. He can make you aware of it. And then it's already in their heart, out of the heart, abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And they're going to speak and do what's in their heart. People only speak and do what's in their heart. And the mind, remember, the mind can be unrenewed. Until people learn God's word, they're only going to do so much good, even if they love you. But the Lord will show you the truth of things. Some people, they love you. They don't mean to do you in harm, but they do harm because they don't believe what you believe. They believe things another way, but they really sincerely love you and they're trying to help. But they can give you the worst advice sometimes. And sometimes they're trying to give you good. You have to follow God to understand these things. God may tell you to do something, but they may not see it, and they may try to get you to not do it. They're not on board with it because they don't have faith for it, not because they hate you. Sometimes when people don't grow, and I notice it, I just don't include them in what I'm doing. Easy. Then I don't have to worry about them dragging them around. I don't trust them to do the things that God gave me that are too important that they don't believe in. I don't care who it is. If people don't believe in what I'm doing, the abundance of the heart will make me aware of it. They're going to speak what's in their heart. If they don't see what I see, they don't believe what I believe. That's fine, because God told me to do it, not them. But if God send me somebody to help me and they see the vision I see and they want to help, then I let them help. I'm not a one-man show. I let people help when they want to help. But I want it to be of the heart. I don't coerce people to help me, and I never will. They help if they want to, and I don't get mad if they don't. If they refuse to help me, that's fine. I don't need them to. I'm going to do my part. But I listen to and I pay attention to the Holy Spirit. People can be great men of God and not see what you see. But you got to make what happen what the Holy Spirit revealed to you. Sometimes you're just going to have to put on your pioneer shoes and walk. And walk it out. You have to do what you can do. You may not be like other people that have an entourage of people that's waiting on you hand and foot to help you do this. Now, ministries that people can see that are not concealed, that people want to get in on it, and they will faithfully help you. And I like to help my pastor as much as I can. I love him. I love the work that he's doing. I pray over the ministry. I pray over the Sunday school and all the people who minister God's word, not just at church. You may hear me do that sometime on the Sunday school broadcast, but I pray for the church as a body, because God can move in our lives. He don't have to waste anything. I focus more on what I'm doing because I can control my will. I can't control other people's will. But I pray God's will in their life, especially when the Holy Spirit guide me to. Most of my praying is after his guidance, what he brings to me. And sometimes if I'm thinking about people, I pray for them. I pray blessings over their life. I pray for them. Our prayers avail much. You're just going to have to get used to the fact that the Lord always hears our prayers, and our prayers avail much. And it's true, and it's real, and it's good. Now, everybody who just seek to obey God and do whatever he wanted, I don't tell God what to tell me to do. I'm not holding him to some format. I don't care what he tells me to do. Because if he tells me to do it, I know it'll work. I have faith that I've seen him tell me to do things and it work out. Sometimes, many times I did not understand what he was doing or where he was coming from, but I knew it was important. I didn't know where he was going with what he told me to do, but I knew it was important, so I did it. And I enjoy it. I want to do more. And I came to a point where I said, you know, every time he tells me to do something, over time I see it for what it is and I thank God for it. And I said, I just started a few years ago, recently too, I just said, I'm going to do all that's in his heart. Whatever he come up with, I'm going to be on board with it. I'm not going to question, ask. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to do what's in his heart, what he reveals to me, and be satisfied and happy and blessed. And it works. And I'm glad. Things are better. And whatever he tell me, I'm going to believe it. I determined to believe it so that I'll do it. And if I do what he say do in love, in true, in the God kind of love, not fake love, not feigned love, in true love. And if I love his people in his kind of love, Jesus kind of love, if I love his people with the Jesus kind of love, they call it agape. I don't care what they call it, but the Jesus kind of love, I'll leave a legacy because I'll please him and I'll obey him and I'll do his work. And I'll be glad I did, and it'll work, and people will get saved. And I like it. I'm happy. A lot of people wish Jesus just hurry up and come. They're tired of being in this world. I understand. I feel that pain, but I'm not in pain. I'm not in a hurry for him to come. I want him to come. I kind of brace myself for it. You know, any moment now, I know I can get snatched away. And I start seeing the sky. I see my brothers and sisters get caught up. Graves are open. People will come out. You know, when you go to the graveyard after the rapture, all the undisturbed graves, they didn't make it. Because the Lord showed, I think it was Ken Peters, a vision of the rapture. He showed them the graveyard when people got up. They tore them graves up coming out of there. See, they went in spiritual. They went in dead. Their body's there. But remember, our bodies come back to life. And they tore that grave up coming out. They had a spiritual, strong, supernatural body. It was super and it was natural. It was spiritual and it was natural. And it come through that, it just tore the grave up. Hit, moved the headstone. You'll think somebody robbed the grave when it came out. So if that's true, after the rapture, you're going to see all the graves just tore up. Well, God showed it to them. That's how it's going to be. That's just the way it is. Even if they were cremated, their body coming out of that, whatever it was in. And you'll say, who robbed these graves? Nobody. They came back to life. We're going to get a new body. The dead in Christ will rise first. We've been saying it for centuries. It's a word. It's true. And then we're going to get snatched away. Raptured. Taken by angels. And we'll fly through the heavens. We'll see things that we never... We'll see what Henry Grover saw. Hopefully, I'd like to see the Milky Way like he did. I love God. I got something to look for. I'm excited about all these things. I get excited about it. But every chance I get to minister God's word and help people understand, I cherish it. Because obedience leaves a positive, godly, positive legacy. And the same spirit will be on your children. The same gifts, according to Timothy, just like his grandmother Eunice, The same gift she enjoyed got on him. So we need to be leaving not only legacies of duty and assignments and offices, but also legacy of love and grace, wisdom, obedience, and also the spiritual gifts. Because we were faithful in the sight of our children, the Lord will remember them. And we're giving God something to work with every time we obey him. I like putting things simple. You get more than what you're after. You're solving your natural problems that causes misery in your life. But solving your problems biblically, it blesses you to overturn what Satan did. But you're also winning in life, and it's going to leave a legacy for your children. God always gives you more than what you ask for. You end up with more because you trust his word. Again, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life, and he will help you. Leave a legacy in his strength, not yours. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.